I'm happy to be down here in Pasadena, Arcadia area again. And just a couple of things to bring to your attention before we get started. Now, our editor, Phil Neal's completely done with the book, America and Britain in Prophecy. And here is the cover. It's going to be 7x10, so this is smaller than the actual size. And it's back at the printer now, and we should be getting it, I said, the second and third week in August, but it may extend out to the fourth week in August, and everybody on the mailing list will get one automatically. And he has a lot more historical evidence in it than other issues of where is Israel. Okay? Then we're trying to upgrade all of the booklets, and we have many, many booklets. We have well over 100 booklets and articles, and we're going to try and get them all upgraded. Plus, we have a lot of special study packs. So what happens when someone writes in for the first time, asks for literature, we send it to them, and then the name and address is forwarded to Jim Hiles, and he lets them know about our study packs. So we have 8 study packs. How many here got the old care packs with all the cassettes in it? Okay. Then we have a lot of transcript series, which then are booklets with transcripts. And one of the ones that's really, really important to keep in mind, especially if you know someone who's had a problem with addiction, is the one that we did on the addicted society. What do you need to do to break that addiction? And, of course, that has to do with God. Then, this is the cover that we're going to put on our Sabbath booklet. We already have it, so we're just upgrading it so it'll look really, really nice. Then the one for the Sabbath Sunday controversy you have never read, which is Rome's Challenge to the Protestants, we're going to have a picture of Cardinal Gibbon in his best dress. So we'll have that. A little different from today, you know, all of the evangelicals going to the Vatican, and a lot of things happening there. Okay, an announcement, a new beginning. Okay, and this is from Rick and assumed Virginia, his wife, and that is Casalicio. That's correct. Yes, Casalicio. Learn a little German, learn a little Greek, throw a little Italian, a little Japanese, sayonara, or mushy mushy, you know. Every time I hear mushy mushy, I think of that cream of wheat that I never liked. And they're going to get hitched on the date, August 2nd, 2014, at 12:30 p.m., right up on North Altadena Drive, Apostolic Christian Church, reception to follow. And so we wish you well, and of course it's always good to fulfill the commandment, which is, it is not good for a man to be alone. And also, it's not good for a woman to be alone. Yeah, so we're happy about that. Then we have one, those of you who on Sunday, July 13th, if you're not prone to sunburn, here is an announcement going to the beach, announcement for all the churches. Even though it's sponsored by United Church of God Garden Grove, I'll leave the information right up here at the front so all interested can go. Okay. Now then, Randy has been working hard, and we have, as we mentioned, a team of what, 2, 3, 4, working on the Faithful Version website. We're just about ready to put it up online with the New Testament complete. You put it up already? Oh, done. What took you so long? Good. Thank you. We're going to go high tech as much as we can. Now, along with that, Randy has taken certain select chapters, like Psalm 23, then he with a harp, and then the whole harp all the way through Psalm 119. Okay. Then we're going to add a little music to certain select ones, like you heard John 17 last time. Okay. Well, now you are going to hear Revelation 4. He's going to have to get the music for Revelation 5. So listen to what Randy did to Revelation 4 and turn the volume up so you can all hear it. It God inspired the music to be just right. Just right. Oh, yeah, turn to Revelation 4. Okay. We might have to listen to it twice. It's so good. Okay, Avi.
Revelation chapter 4. After these things I looked, and behold, a door opened in heaven. And the first voice that I heard was as if a trumpet were speaking with me, saying.
After hearing that, we need to understand that God is active in our lives. When it says that our prayers ascend to God, this gives you a good inkling. The only place in the Bible, and John, the one whom Jesus loved, was blessed to be able to see this. And to see the throne, to see the Father, to see Christ, and to prepare for chapter 6. Because, brethren, you see, God has called us to the greatest thing that can happen in our lives. Now, it's not going to be easy to get there because we're going to live in the most dangerous society that has existed since the flood. There are many things that we're going to have to see, we're going to have to endure, and we're going to have to be prepared. You see what's happening right now in the Middle East? That's preparing the way for the King of the South. That's also going to force Europe to take action. They're going to be forced to. They're not going to be able to sit back and say, Obama, you take care of it. He's going to say, well, I'm going to go play golf. Remember this. You can never solve spiritual problems by political means. God has called us to solve the problems in the world with Christ. To be involved in the politics of this world is getting into Satan's system. Jesus said he was not of this world. We are not of this world. It's not going to get better regardless who gets in office because it's the sins of the people. They're gross sins. Remember all the effort that was put forth in World War II to get rid of Adolf Hitler and the Nazis in Europe, all the blood that was shed, and that whole Holocaust, everything that was involved cost the lives of 50 million people. Yet, rather than thanking God for giving us the mission to do that and giving God all the credit for it, we have now embraced every evil thing that the Nazis have stood for, and we have given the license of murder to women to abort now close to 60 million innocent lives. And for every abortion, there is an immigrant coming across the border as punishment. Because you see, woman's body is special, created by God. Because when God formed Adam and Eve with his own hands, he put into them all of the genes and chromosomes for all the human race. So when you read in the Bible someone praising God saying, your hands have formed me in the womb, that is an absolute true statement because God made the genes that are causing it to be done. And the life that God gives at conception so that there will be a new human being, is a creation of God. And all women become partners with God in the creation of new human beings. And it's a sacred trust that God gives to women. That trust is greater than what God has given to men. And that is why, when you read in the Bible, there are so many things against the women and the sexual things, because the women are the last resort to stop sin. Men just do not have the control. That's why God made marriage. And so anything that is done politically, anything that is done religiously, unless there is repentance on a vast scale, we are going to look like Syria. Don't think that is an exaggeration. It is not. Now, you just watch the news. I watched the news last night. It was like I was being put through these old-fashioned ringers, you know, when I was a kid. Little sidebar. My mom got a brand new washer and it had these ringers. You just put the clothes out in the corner and, hey, they're wrung pretty well dry. Now I was looking at that and I got my hand in there. Oh, it came clear up to here, and then finally it popped up. Well, that's exactly what it is if you get involved in the world. Sooner or later, it's going to take you down. Now, how many, you all saw the thing with Kenneth Copeland? You all saw that?
Yeah.
Okay. As followed by Robinson and by Joel Osteen, and many others are going to go. Now, remember this. Satan, when it says he's cunning, that means he will come in a pleasant attitude, with a reasonable proposition, to appeal to something that people want to do. He doesn't tell you where it's going to lead to. That comes later. It's just like the addict. Someone brought it to those who became addicts. They said, try it. You'll like it. Man, this stuff really good. Oh, no. No, 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 no. Well, look at me. I take it. Is there anything wrong with me? No, there's nothing wrong with me. See, because the one who's selling it hasn't reached the end of the journey yet. And the end of the journey is a very excruciating death. So don't believe all the good, kind things that come along under the guise of benefits. Because for every benefit, there are two hooks at the end of it. And they'll get you. So there is no turning back anything by political means. And so how do we survive? Let's come here to Isaiah, the 3rd chapter. Let's see something very important. We survive because we believe in God. We love God. And he is first in everything that we do, as Mike brought out in his sermon concerning the burnt offering. Okay. The spiritual side of the burnt offering. Okay. So let's pick it up here in verse 8, Isaiah 3. Isaiah 3 and verse 8. This is literally true this minute while we're reading these words. Verse 8. For Jerusalem is staggering, and Judah has fallen because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord. First fulfillment. There's a second fulfillment. You see, as much as they have many things right concerning the things in the Bible, because they have rejected Christ, they have had a very sorrowful history. And as brings out by John, he who has the Father has the Son, and he who does not have the Son does not have the Father. God is yet going to deal with them. God is not going to abandon them. And they will build a temple in Jerusalem at the time that God wanted to be built, not before. But in the meantime, they live in a society where they have rockets raining down on them, destroying their building. Tel Aviv used to be a safe place. No longer. That's coming here. So how are we to behave? Verse 9. The look of their face is witness against them, and they declare their sin like Sodom. They do not hide it. No, they jam it down our throats today, don't they? So to speak. Woe to their soul, for they have rewarded evil to themselves. And remember, in every case, whether for good or for evil, it is not how you start. It is how you finish. Verse 10, we can take some hope right here. Say to the righteous, these are the ones of God, it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. And as I mentioned in the letter that's coming out, we need the protection of God, Psalm 91. Woe to the wicked, for the evil doing of his hand shall be given to him. Okay? Now then it talks about women ruling over them and children being their oppressors, and all of that is true in a tremendous way. Now, let's come back here to Romans, the 8th chapter, because we'll give a title to this sermon, which is, how do you have peace of mind in a world full of turmoil? Because you look at what you see on the news, and if that doesn't affect you, and you hear all the bad news of everything, does it not give you an oppressive feeling in addition to what the government's doing to oppress us? Yes. Well, how to have peace of mind? All right, let's begin right here. Romans 8 and verse 28. And as Mike brought out, everything concerning the coming of Christ, his sacrifice and everything, was meticulously planned. And even some of those involved in it that had absolutely no knowledge of God did exactly what God wanted them to do. The soldiers that crucified him, what did they do? Well, they looked up in the book of Psalms and said they'll cast lots. No. They cast lots. Why? Because even though they were the persons that they were, God made them do his will. Everything was meticulous, carried out to the nth degree. Now, verse 28, Romans 8. For we know, and this is what we have to know in a convicting way, not just to intellectually mouth the words or think the thought, but in a convicting way, because we're all going to go through some very difficult things in our lives. And some of them you're going to say, God, why? Well, God is going to work it out. We know that all things work together for good, and we can put in there in the long run. Sometimes even in the short run when it looks really bad, but God can turn that to good. For good to those who love God. That's the whole purpose. Loving God. And that's with prayer. And that's with study. And that's with dedication. Just like, thank you for giving the introduction for the sermon here. Okay. It's like a burnt offering. Wholly involved to God. What's the problem with the Laodiceans? I'll get around to it. No. Who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And we have. We have the greatest purpose in life. It's not a religion that we come to give obeisance to men, because we're to have a relationship directly with God the Father and Jesus Christ. And in hearing that, the music that Randy put to Revelation 4, kind of keep that in your mind when you are praying, those words that are recorded in Revelation 4, because that's where your prayers are going. You see that? And then you ask God to lead you, to guide you, to help you. You do that, I don't know about you, but I do that all day long. All right? Now notice, and in this call to the purpose, he knows us. Is not the Spirit of God in us? Yes, it is. Does he know us? Does he know our thoughts? Yes, he does. Can he inspire us to do things? Sometimes just a thought come in your head and you don't even know that God has done it or led you to do something or caused you to remember something that you forgot. See? Well, that's how close God is with us. He's in us. His dwelling place is with us. That's what's so important. Now notice, because he did foreknow us, he also predestined us, predestinated to be conformed to the image of his own son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now God's going to finish the work. Now none of us know how long we have yet to go. I never thought I'd be 80, but here I am 2 days beyond 80 right now. Okay, a little more than that. 4 days. Time goes by fast. But as I've mentioned before, when you get old, you get feeble. God knows that. He still loves you. Just because you can't do what you used to do when you were 20 years old or 30 years old, that doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. That's just part of the process, see? Because death is a harvest. The grave is the granary. And God is storing it all in the granary. What a surprise that's going to be for the world. What a surprise that is going to be. All right, let's go on. Let's come here to John, the 14th chapter. John 14. We need to have the peace of mind which comes from God. John 14, let's pick it up here in verse 27. John 14 and verse 27. And you need to pray for this, because this is a spiritual quality that comes from God. Now then, little thing to understand. If you are by nature a worrywart, and some people are that way more than anything else. If there's nothing to worry about, they worry because there's nothing to worry about. Let's see. Okay. Then you need to put forth some extra effort and ask God to help you with it. Because worry isn't going to help it. Here's what we need. Verse 27. Peace I leave with you. Now remember, he was saying this just before he was to be let off, tried and crucified, that very night. My peace I give to you. Now what are some other names of Jesus Christ? Isaiah 9, he's the Prince of Peace. Hebrews 7, he's the King of Peace, rather. Okay? Your mind and emotions in turmoil? Don't worry about it and try and fix it mentally up here. Go pray about it and lay it before God. Leave it in his hands. He is God. Does God have all power? Yes, he does. Can God take care of it? Yes, he can. Can he change circumstances and you don't even know that he's changed circumstances? Yes, he can. Remember there in Ephesians 3, I read it a couple times recently, but he has the power to do exceedingly abundantly of all we ask or think. Now that can give us a whole lot of peace of mind. Okay? My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, nor let it fear. Now that's pretty something, isn't it? Don't get worried. Yeah, but Lord, what am I going to eat? Lord, what am I going to drink? Well, in some cases, we can be wise as serpents, harmless as doves, and have a few things set aside. That is true. But ultimately, God is going to take care of it. Now, I use this example, which will be on one of the feast videos, which is this. When Jerusalem was surrounded by the Roman armies in late 66 AD, because what happened, the Romans took, 17 tons of gold from the temple, I believe it was. Tremendous amount. Took it from the temple. All the zealots came in there. Let's get rid of the Romans. Let's get our gold back. Let's, political thing, right? You read the book of Jude? Okay? That tells you what was happening. Okay? So they surrounded Jerusalem, and the Christians were still stuck in there. Well, God did something. He caused the Romans to leave and go on down toward Caesarea. And all the zealots who were holding the hostages in Jerusalem, they left to chase the Romans, and the Christians left and went over to Pella. So if you picture that, here you are in Jerusalem, surrounded by armies. And those who are supposed to be your friends won't even let you out to try and escape. And if you did escape, you'd be crucified. So, God performed a miracle. They escaped. The Romans came back. And in the destruction, the last year, the Romans were very smart. And God worked this out too, because the Jews said, well, if we get as many Jews from the diaspora here for Passover, then God will destroy the Romans. Send the Messiah. But they already rejected him. So they ended up with 2.5 million people in Jerusalem. And the food supplies were gone very quickly because the Romans didn't let them out. So he gives this to his followers before all of those events occurred. Let's go forward here. Verse 28. You have heard me say to you that I'm going away, but I will come to you again. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced that I said, I'm going to the Father, because my Father is greater than I. And now I've told you before it happens, so that when it comes to pass, you may believe. I will not speak with you much longer, because the ruler of this world is coming, but he does not have a single thing in me. Yet he comes, so that the world may know that I love the Father, and that I do exactly as the Father has commanded me. Arise, let us go out. Quite a thing. Now come over here to chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse 32. Jesus said, listen, the time is coming and has already come that you shall be scattered each to his own, and you shall leave me alone. And of course, Peter denies, oh no, Lord, you know, I'll even fight for you. So you're going to deny me before the cock crows twice. Did that happen? Yes, it did. And yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, so that in me, Christ, you're not going to have peace of mind otherwise, you may have peace. In the world, you shall have tribulation. But be courageous, I have overcome the world. So you see, with the kind of faith that we need to have, and so forth. And Jesus said this knowing everything that was going to happen to him. And as we have had read to us in John 10, he laid down his life willingly. And you read John 17. That John 17 is a review of the whole plan of God. We'll look at some of the verses a little later here. Okay? Now, let's come to Romans, the 5th chapter. Now, how are we to be in the world today? A lot of things going on. And most of us know the answers, don't we? But you think the world would accept it? You know, try this on for size. I thought about this during Halloween. They decorated the bank with, you know, mock spider webs and skeletons and all of this sort of thing. And I thought to myself, I wonder what would happen if someone, and I was thinking, well, no, Fred, don't do that. We come in here and tear all these things down, say, this is an abomination, get it out of here, see. You know, so anyway, one of the clerks came up, was talking to me, and she said, oh, look, how nice this is. So-and-so did such a good job in decorating the bank. And, of course, I couldn't hold back. I couldn't hold back. I said, what if that offends me? It's for fun. And I just left it at that. The world is not ready for God's way yet. We have to be ready by growing and developing and overcoming. Now, chapter 5, book of Romans. We have peace with God. Now, we're to have peace with each other. We'll see that a little later. We have peace with God, and that's why with God's Spirit and study and prayer, you get peace of mind. And we need to have peace of mind. Okay? Here's how it starts. Verse 1, Romans 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what was our status before we repented and were baptized and came to God? We were enemies with God, right? Weren't we? Yes. Okay. Now we have peace with God. More than that, we have the Spirit of God. The mind of Christ is part of the Spirit of God, and to be begettled from the Father to be a spiritual son or daughter of God. And they dwell right here in our minds. Now think how important that is. And think how important that is in relationship to giving us purpose, motivation, diligence, understanding, wanting to do the things that God wants in our lives. Okay? That has a lot. Okay? Notice. Through whom we have access by faith into this grace. And what is this grace? Now you heard the words and the music of Revelation 4. Every single one of us have direct access to God the Father. Every single one of us. And he is the one who does the perfecting. And he is the one who gives peace of mind. For the world, Satan is out there. Come. Have fun. Do this. Do that. Do the other thing. It won't hurt you. Try it. You'll like it. That's the way Satan works. What has he done to all the young people? They've been educated to be dunces, most of them, wrapped up in music, electronic devices, sex, and drugs. Now, not all. But he has created a population of slaves. Let me read you something. Should have read a little earlier, but I'll read it. And this is by the Louvin Brothers, 1949, the lyrics. If we forget God. Now, where was I? I went to buy something. Where was it? Anyway, I forget. That's how good my memory is. Okay. Anyway. And there was a song playing about death. We die. We die. Anybody know the name of it? We die. We die. Whatever. And I thought, they're programming all the young people to look forward to death. God is programming us for life, eternal life. All right. And the title of this is, If We Forget God. And I guess this was a song. If we forget God, Satan will rule. If we forget God, our nation is doomed. The stories and pictures in most magazines now feature new stylings unfit to be seen. They're placed on the newsstand where children can buy. When they go wrong, we wonder why. If we forget God, his mercy will flee, and sin will cover the land and the sea. If we forget God, Satan will rule. If we forget God, the nation is doomed. So many are climbing fame's golden hill by singing of evil that gives this world a thrill. But I'll sing of Jesus, and though they won't hear, God will bless me for doing his will. Very fitting. That's what we're here for. Now notice, in this grace in which we stand, you're in a special relationship with God. The whole world is under law to God. We are under grace so we can keep the laws in the Spirit, have them written in our hearts and in our minds, have the very thoughts of God come to us through his Word and through his Spirit. And that's the whole purpose in life. See? This is why we can have peace of mind. All right? Let's go on. And we ourselves boast in the hope of the glory of God. And not only this, we also boast in tribulations. Why? Because all things work together for good. Realizing that tribulation brings forth endurance. Have you all had to endure things that you never thought you would have to endure when you first came into the church? And I don't think there's a single one of us here that we're in a place where we imagined we may have been when we were first baptized, right? No way. See, all right. Endurance brings forth character, and that's what God wants, because that's what's missing in the rulers of this world. They do not have godly character. And character brings forth hope. And the hope of God never makes us ashamed, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which he has given to us. Now, that's quite a thing, brethren. This is why God does not want the brethren to come together and to be in a religion of this world. We have greater purpose. We have greater goals. We have a personal relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. We are here all to be trained to rule with Christ, to save this world. And we can have a vision of it that all of the Christians who lived and died, and they all have lived and died, haven't they? All Christians have lived and died? Yes. Never had an opportunity to even contemplate the closest that any of the apostles got to knowing what was going to happen at the end time was the Apostle John with the book of Revelation. And that was so far down the road in its fulfillment that there were people even in the Church of God that thought he lost his mind. And some of them at first rejected to put it into the New Testament writings. But is it unfolding today exactly as described? Yes, indeed. Let's come here to Galatians, the 5th chapter. Let's see what we are to be developing. And before we do that, we'll take a little break.